Hello again. This is the Seven Laws Blog UK, and I am David, otherwise known as Hesed Yahu. Today I'll be reading my piece called What Doesn't Make Sense to Me. What Doesn't Make Sense to Me. So by the title, you should see that this is another subjective piece or post. If something doesn't make sense, it can only mean that it doesn't make sense to me. Whether it is objectively cogent or not, that's another question. It may just be something that needs explication or elucidation or explanation or some other E word. It actually could be incoherent, really incoherent. It may even be logically flawed or incorrect and wrong. But this post is only about the fact that a certain position or idea doesn't make sense to me. Let's see if I can unpack my quandary. It's the position of some Jews and some Gentiles who call themselves Noahide, or some of those who call themselves Ger, is their position that 1. God enjoined 7 commandments upon all humanity. 2. The Jews hold the codification and details of the 7 commandments. 3. The oral Torah is a tradition, unwritten, held exclusively by the Jews, more properly, the Torah observant Jews and their rabbis. 4. That oral tradition, the one held exclusively by the Torah observant rabbis, one of the smallest minorities in the world, is needed to fully understand and keep and make decisions and rulings, that means authoritative judgments, concerning the 7 laws. 5. We Gentiles, according to our 7 commandments, are obligated to set up our own righteous courts and make rulings. Now, to me, I struggle to see the soundness in these positions when held together. No. That sounded too conciliatory. Too nice. Let me try again. I don't see the soundness in holding these positions together. You may see that one or two of these positions are part of one another. For example, points 1 and 5 are intrinsically linked. God commanded 7 laws, one of which is to set up our own courts, and therefore Gentiles should make rulings in those Gentile courts. As I shared a number of times, Jews have no authority in Gentile lands, and the 7 laws themselves afford no authority to the Jews as well. So then comes the confounding part. If we Gentiles are supposed to keep the laws and rule in our own courts, why would the means and knowledge of how to rule, make rulings according to those 7, be locked in the oral Torah, which is the exclusive possession of the Jews? Or, removing the assumption or presumption in that question, is it true that the means and knowledge of how to make rulings according to the 7 laws are only in the oral law, the exclusive possession of the Jews? To me, it seems irrational as the Christian doctrine of original sin, that God gave man, or the Jews, a law that they did not have the ability to keep. And remember, the issue of such an idea is not the possibility of it, but rather the morality of it, that God would inflict harm and even death on those literally unable to do what he demands of them. So what's the situation here? God gave Gentiles demands, 7 commands, and mandated that we judge ourselves over these commands. Yet apparently, according to those people who hold these views, he placed the means to do so, to judge ourselves, out of our reach. I know that such a thing is possible, as an all-powerful, universal creator can do what he wants. But this isn't an issue of possibility, but rather one of internal, moral, or rational cogency, or soundness. As I've said before, if the obedience of a Gentile to the 7 laws is wholly dependent on sufficient time, education, and the presence of a knowledgeable Jew, most of the world throughout history, even today, is doomed. It is not much better than the idea that only faith in Jesus gives salvation. In fact, it may be even worse than that, since at least the idea of Jesus is more widely known and easier to access. If God commanded us Gentiles to create courts and avoid injustice, then I believe it naturally follows that we Gentiles must be able to access and learn the information necessary for us to make rulings, defined as an authoritative decision or rule of a judge or court, with no such authority given to Jews. Again, I must clarify with the statement that Jews are in the place to tell us what has been revealed to them clearly about our commands, our divine laws, but not to decide or make rulings concerning them, as there is no evidence that they have such authority over those outside their national jurisdiction. Or at least, I said there that there's no evidence. I'll rephrase that as there's no sufficient or adequate evidence that they have such authority over us Gentiles being outside their national jurisdiction. But then I might get the retort that the rulings that Jews are justifiably able to give to us Gentiles are something called halakha or halakha. Unfortunately, searching for a definition and English understanding of that Jewish word throws confusion on the issue. Many places define halakha as Jewish law. An observant reader of such a definition should see the obvious problem when it concerns the divine laws for non-Jews, for Gentiles. The problem being that Jewish law would not be Gentile law. The dictionary I typically install on my phone says that halakha is a general term for Hebrew traditional or oral law, whilst other resources say it refers to the legal side of Judaism as opposed to the story side or narrative side. For me, the root of the problem is that this is once again an attempt to use a mystifying Hebrew term instead of using concepts and words native to the Gentile audience, which for me means using English words and English concepts. It's like the Hebrew word ger, which certain people refuse to translate, although it has been translated into different languages throughout history. Keeping it in its Hebrew transliterated form helps make its meaning pliable for those wanting to take advantage of it. It's like the Hebrew term hallelujah that certain Christians have injected a similar mystification, or into which certain Christians have injected a similar mystification, claiming it's the highest praise when it's been translated into many languages and is just a Hebrew way of saying celebrate God or praise the Almighty. As it relates to the word halacha, going from one Jewish resource to another, it is repeatedly talked about with regards to how a Jew should live. Let me try the lowest common denominator of how this Hebrew word is translated. There is one Hebrew word that is translated as commandment, that's mitzvah. And halacha refers to how it is kept, the procedure for keeping the law. Now, it makes sense. That bit makes sense. Now, I'm told that this legal procedure has three sources. From God to Moses, from the ancient rabbis, and from custom. Tradition has it that God gave laws to Gentiles, which is evident in the Jewish Bible. But the legal procedure, the details, how the law is kept, if that too comes from God, that claim is okay as long as there is evidence. If the procedural details are from rabbis or custom, then we have a problem. Rabbis, especially modern ones, have no basis for authority in Gentile lands or over Gentiles outside of their national jurisdiction. A custom. I believe that we can only be talking about Gentile custom, not Jewish ones, for similar reasons that Jews or rabbis don't have any authority in Gentile lands. From all this, it is clear to me that rabbis can only describe Gentile Torah laws that came from God-given or revealed tradition, and not command, innovate, or prescribe laws for Gentiles. For example, they can't make rulings. This brings to mind a recent negative reaction that one of my articles elicited. You know, is that true? Do my articles evoke emotion? Do my articles control the heart of a person? Aren't people responsible for their own feelings? Being real, words can play a part in how people feel, if they allow it. I can't be too reductionist. Anyway, where was I? So one of my articles received a negative response, as per usual. Well, not all usual. I'm talking to myself again. Yes, I'm talking to myself. Let's try again. So one of my articles received a negative response. The complainant, assuming that I'm a nationalist, thought or wrote that I rejected following the Jews as I would be happy if an Englishman or Scottishman ruled me. As I make it plain, where I live, where I was born and raised, it makes it easy to conclude that I have enough kinship with the people of this country or my own country to prefer a neighbour rule me rather than the foreign Jew. In today's over-racialised climate, it seems irritatingly evil to be labelled racist or anti-Semitic. Aside from my own individual antisocial world, I believe I see something that seems to have a lot of historical precedence. I feel like I'll be repeating myself, but hey, it gives me something to do. Many people prefer their own, especially when it comes to leadership and places of accepted authority. Nations and nationalism would not exist if this was not the case. Do you see the way many Jews cherish their national independence and prefer a king to come from their own? Many in all countries do not want their lives to be controlled by others, people of another group. It seems like a persistent trend in humans. Now, despite the fact that the Jews possess the truth of Torah, God's revelation to man, a certain trend I've seen amongst those who have learnt and accepted the seven laws seems to contradict the historical nationalist trend, seems to even contradict the nationalistic mindset amongst the Jews themselves. to various extents, these Gentiles have cut themselves off from their own countries and people groups to follow the Jews. On one side of the spectrum is the Noahide, typically some ex-Christian who essentially lives the life of, I shall do what the Jews tell me. They may still see themselves as non-Jewish, may still be politically affiliated to the national government, the government of the land that they live in, or not. But their morality and spirituality, or religiosity, is rabbinically crafted. Not simply a basic set of seven laws, with the rest of the principles to be based on one's cultural rationality, but rather a comprehensive list crafted by a rabbi or group of rabbis, or not, with little criticism of whether that morality comes from God or the rabbis, as if that distinction even matters to such a person. It doesn't seem to. The Jew is the closest to God to that person. To that person, to that Noahide, the Jew is the closest to God a person can get. So woe betide anyone who doesn't want the rabbinically dictated Noahide code. That Gentile, that Noahide, has given sovereignty of his life to the Jews. And normally he'll be happy about this. Remember, this is the closest he has to God's revelation. On the other side of this spectrum is the modern Ger, one who wants to be part of Israel, who wants to recite Shema Yisrael, which just means listen Israel, which comes from Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, as if they themselves are included, those who want to cleave to Torah national Israel, to sojourn in their gates, in their midst. The most extreme amongst them are almost bilingual, at very least, talking or writing in transliterated Hebrew to the point of incoherence to a typical Gentile reader, more versed in Kabbalah or Jewish mysticism, eschewing or avoiding English and preferring this transliterated Hebrew at times, because according to their rabbis, if you want the truth, go to the Hebrew. Although both groups, Noahide and Ger, rely on Although both groups, Noahide and Ger, rely on rabbis, you know what? There's nothing with which I can finish that thought. Both depend on the rabbis in a consistent daily way. Well, not daily, but still regular. But to me, the self-proclaimed Ger is more likely to be more severed in one way or another from his native people. And all the time, while the Noahide and Ger have cut themselves off from their people to various extents, for the sovereignty of the Jew, the Jew himself is or should be more nationalistic or possessive of his own people. There is no cutting off from his people or his nation. His authority is another Jew. His judge and king would be another Jew. The people who guide his moral life will be Jews. While the word Gentile blurs the whole world of widely different people into one, whilst a Jew is more singular, unique. Speaking of being cut off from a nation or a people, where do I fit in all this? I talk of Noahide and Ger as the outsider that I am. Yet I have no deep allegiance with or love for the country of my birth, the people amongst whom I habitually live. And I've made it plain in other articles, I hate the government that I'm under. I hate most governments, if not all of them. I have no knowledge of my ancestry and have been much more interested in ideas and morals than race, which I'm finding to have an objective reality in this world. Although I am a branch cut off from my roots, I have no desire to simply follow anyone, be it a Brit or a Jew. I don't wish to place my faith or confidence fully in anyone. If a rabbi was to tell me that firstly, X is one of the seven laws, but that Y is a seven law obligation, I wouldn't simply take his word for it. I couldn't say he is right and true just because he and his people have God's truth, because they're not prophets. The plethora of rabbinical opinion, differing, conflicting rabbinical opinion, makes such trust impossible. The more the human element, the less natural authority they possess. I know this post seems a bit meandering, but it's just a way for me to process and order my thoughts. Almost a separate issue is my constant referring to the Jews or the Jew. Although I don't share, I no longer share, the adoration or high opinion Noahides tend to have for the Jews, I don't dislike them, I don't hate them. I'm just not much of a collectivist, and I don't mix the awe that I have for the way God set that people apart and the way a core element of them have cherished and protected the Torah tradition. I don't mix that with how I view an individual Jew or a group of their rabbis. But even I must admit that constantly referring to them as the Jew and the Jews seems almost negative, standoffish. But would it be true in the same way if I consistently referred to the Brits and the British, the Pole and the Polish, the American and the Americans, the Chinese and the Chineseman? Would that seem standoffish to describe those as the groups that way? Or negative? I don't think so. In that light, I don't think it can be avoided that we refer to the Jew as such, or to the Jews like that. Despite how it can sound, there's no maliciousness in such a reference, or at least definitely not for me. So going back to the original thought of this post, just because a small set of Gentiles associate themselves more with the Jews in a certain sense than their own people, can there be any real grounding to the idea that only Jews should make or should rule Gentiles or make rulings for the nations due to their unique possession of the oral tradition? Because the general description of the codification of our law is in their tradition, does that necessarily mean that they are in charge of the Gentiles? Did God really place the entirety of our moral matters in their hands? Undoubtedly, for me, they are priests for the nations. But did God also make them lawgivers and thus controllers of the nations? Are the specifics of our law a matter of revelation, or rather, revelation-based or revelation-accordant human rationality? In light of the fact that normally people don't like another group, a group not from their own, telling them how to live, Jews included and emphasized, does it really make sense that God would ensure that his people, the Jews, would be placed in harm's way by teaching that the Gentile land must have Jewish oversight and Jewish legal control, thus reinforcing the anti-Semitic idea that Jews want to control the world? Does it make sense that, similar to the teaching of original sin, God placed morality out of the reach and ability of the vast majority of humans throughout history. I have yet to be given the basis for the soundness of such teaching. And such teaching does exist among the rabbis and the Jews, as can be seen in the book called The Divine Code, written by Rabbi Moshe Weiner, or Weiner. Here's another question that comes to mind. It is related, because it relates to a form of tribalism, the emotional bond with a people group one considers one's own, that exists even today. It is promoted amongst some Gentiles and rabbis, and most likely, no, inevitably, the modern Gehring, or sorry, Gehr. So it's promoted that a righteous Gentile will both love God and love Israel. Let's assume that Israel refers to a currently extant nation. I don't know if the current state of Israel is that Israel, but anyway, is it possible to love one's own people group and also love Israel? It makes sense for a Jew to love Israel, as he would have emotional ties with his own tribe. But a Gentile? One from the many other people groups out there? Is it realistic for them to love Israel and their own people group? Must a Gentile have a dual love, where the Jews only have a singular love? It's logical, reasonable, to love God, the source of my everything, who gives the potential and ability to have happiness. I can respect Israel, the Torah true among them. I can be grateful to them, those faithful, for being the pinpricks of light or starlight in this dark world, burning bright against a cold darkness that has always sought to subsume it or subsume them from both within and without. But to love a nation, an alien people group, who are still essentially strangers to me and who would or could treat me the same as a stranger, maybe the phrase love Israel needs either rewording or a better definition. As you can see, there are a number of things that don't make sense to me, that I both doubt and question. I guess I'll just have to keep learning, maybe find an answer if there is one. But you know what? Maybe there isn't one. Okay, so that's it. That was the article, or the post. What doesn't make sense to me? Hope it gives you food for thought. Anyway, have a great day. Thanks for listening. Thanks again.